Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Ana Mateo. Sometimes we Americans say it's okay to talk about anything you want, except politics and religion. Today we are going to talk about the latter, religion. In particular, the Pope.
In the second half of today's show, we will hear about Pope Francis's recent thoughts on conscientious objectors. Conscientious objectors are people who refuse to do something because of their moral beliefs.
But first, we hear about the efforts by Pope Francis to keep Hispanic followers from leaving the Catholic Church. A study from the Pew Research Center says that almost 33% of American Catholics are Hispanic.
The study also found that Hispanics are leaving the religion at a high rate. Some people are expressing concern about falling numbers of Hispanic Catholics. Jim Tedder brings us more on that story.
The Spanish language service at the Roman Catholic St. Elizabeth Church in New York City attracts a crowd even midweek. Many of the church's members are new immigrants from majority Catholic countries in Latin America. A recent study found that almost 90% of Hispanic Americans have a favorable opinion of Pope Francis. The leader of the Roman Catholic Church will visit the city this week. Sister Celia Sid says Pope Francis, a son of immigrants, understands the needs of Hispanic Americans. He identifies with the struggles on many different nationalities, different countries, and what they are going through, she said. It's a great hope for me to have him come because this city is a melting pot. It is a city built on immigrants. But almost 25% of Hispanic Americans are now former Catholics. Some leave for evangelical and Pentecostal churches. Others just slowly withdraw from the Catholic Church. Father Ambiorix Rodriguez is an immigrant from the Dominican Republic. He was raised in Manhattan, where he is now a priest. Father Rodriguez told VOA that Pope Francis has an answer. He said, "The Pope advises Catholic spiritual leaders to go out and connect with people outside of the church building. He is telling the church we can no longer stay inside, self-enclosed, worrying about who we have, who is here. But no, the church needs to go out," Father Rodriguez said. Young adults make up the largest group of Hispanics leaving Catholicism. Today, many people under the age of 30 describe themselves as religiously unaffiliated. Elias is a young Catholic Church member who is invigorated by the Pope's openness. He said, "If the Catholics who have drifted are based on, 'Oh, you don't understand me,' or 'It's too complicated,' or 'I'm tired of traditional habits,' the Pope is actually saying, 'You know what? I am moving forward.'" Elias also said, "The Pope's use of social media to connect with the next generation is one way he is keeping young people invested and interested. Pope Francis is the most followed world leader on Twitter, a popular social media site. His username is @pontifex. The youth are the future people of tomorrow. They are ones who are going to keep this church alive," Elias said. "If the youth are not being influenced or moved by it, you're going to lose a lot of members because it starts there," he said. The Pew Research Center study says that almost 33% of American Catholics are Hispanic. The study also found that Hispanics are leaving the religion at a high rate. In 2010, 67% of Hispanic Americans identified themselves as Catholic. By 2013, that percentage had dropped to 55%. I'm Jim Tedder.
I'm Ana Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. You are listening to the VOA Learning English program, As It Is. Welcome back to As It Is. We just heard a report on a study that finds Hispanics are leaving the Catholic Church and Pope Francis's views on that situation. Now we hear a report about the Pope's views on conscientious objectors. Anna brings you this story.
Pope Francis says people should have the right to refuse tasks they oppose on moral grounds. The Pope's comments were thought to support a court worker in the United States. This woman refused to sign marriage licenses for homosexual or same-sex couples. Pope Francis made these comments on a return flight to Rome after a 10-day trip to Cuba and the United States. He said, "I can say that conscientious objection is a right, and it is part of every human right. A person's conscience is like their moral inner voice, telling them what is right for them and what is wrong. In most cases, conscientious objectors are people who refuse to fight in wars on moral or religious grounds. In this situation, the definition has been expanded to include people who refuse to do certain work based on their moral beliefs." Kim Davis is a court clerk in the central southern state of Kentucky. She was jailed for several days last month after refusing to sign marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Ms. Davis was released after agreeing that she would not block her co-workers from signing same-sex marriage licenses. The U.S. Supreme Court in June upheld the constitutional right to marry for all people. The Roman Catholic Church says marriage should be reserved for unions between women and men. On his flight, the Pope said, "Conscientious objection must be supported legally. Otherwise, we would end up in a situation where we select what is a right, saying, this right has merit, this one does not." The Pope's visit to the U.S. included the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia. That gathering is the world's largest Catholic gathering of families. The Vatican, the government of the Roman Catholic Church, will continue talking about family issues like marriage next month. The meetings are called the Ordinary Synod on the Family. A synod is a formal meeting of church leaders. The meetings will be held October 4th to the 25th. During his visit, the Pope also addressed the issue of child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. He met privately with five victims of child sexual abuse by Catholic clergy or officials in the church. Pope Francis has removed a handful of bishops for their roles in protecting abusive priests, the New York Times reported. I'm Ana Mateo.
I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
and welcome to the Voice of America Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. Do you have an enemy? Hopefully you don't. An enemy is someone who hates you, and you hate them back. An enemy threatens you, attacks you, or tries to harm you. In some languages, there are different words for a personal enemy versus an enemy of war, political enemy, or enemy of the state. In English, however, they are all called the same, enemies. We do have other words to describe an enemy. Adversary, foe, and opponent are the most common. However, if you do have enemies, I have some advice for you. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Many believe the Chinese military genius Sun Tzu wrote something like this in his book, The Art of War. Others say Machiavelli wrote this sentence in The Prince. We may not know for sure who said it first, but many know who said this line in the movie The Godfather 2. Gangster boss Michael Corleone advises a member of his crime family on how to deal with an enemy who is causing trouble.
My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room. He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Here is another piece of advice. An enemy of my enemy is my friend. Let's say you have two enemies who also hate each other. If you are smart, you may be able to use their hatred of each other to get what you want. Let's say you don't have a formal enemy, but what if you have a friend who treats you badly? People around you might say, with a friend like that, who needs enemies? This expression means that if a friend treats you badly, they behave as an enemy. It also means you should get another friend. We are supposed to hate our enemies, but when something is so bad, so terrible, we often say, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. For example, I was so sick last weekend, I wouldn't wish that flu on my worst enemy. Public enemy number one is a status given to the worst criminals in the United States. During the Great Depression, John Dillinger was named public enemy number one. He was a killer, bank robber, and the most feared gangster in the U.S. A gangster works in a group of people like a network or system. Throughout the years, several artists have borrowed this expression. In 2009, Johnny Depp plays the famous gangster John Dillinger in the film titled Public Enemies. An earlier film made in 1931, titled The Public Enemy, is also a gangster film, starring James Cagney. Public Enemy is also a famous hip-hop group that came out of Long Island, New York in the 1980s. If you have many enemies, you may have to rank them in order of importance. Your arch enemy is your main enemy. For example, the two politicians were arch enemies. A great word that means the same as your arch enemy is nemesis. A nemesis is an opponent that is very difficult to defeat. Your nemesis is always looking to destroy you. Sometimes you don't need an enemy. Some people fail on their own. These types of people sometimes do not realize they are making things hard for themselves, that they are their own worst enemy. So if you know someone like this, you can say to them, life is hard enough. Don't be your own worst enemy. I'm Ana Mateo. Do you know some expressions or quotes about enemies in your language? Translate them into English in the comment section.
I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein with People in America in VOA Special English. Today, we report about Annie Oakley, a woman who became famous for her ability to shoot a gun and hit very small objects.
There are hundreds of stories about Annie Oakley. Many of the stories involve her adventures in the American Wild West. Others tell about her travels with Native American tribes. However, most of the stories are not true. She did not grow up in the Wild West, nor did she fight in any battles. Annie Oakley was a performer in a traveling Wild West show. She used her skill at shooting a gun to become one of the most famous sharpshooters in American history.
Annie Oakley was born in 1860 in Dark County, Ohio. Her real name was Phoebe Ann Mosey. When she was 6 years old, her father died of pneumonia. Her family was very poor. She did not attend school. When she was 9 years old, Annie went to live with another family on a farm. Then she became a servant for still another family. She later said that this new family abused her. When Annie returned to live with her own family, she decided to help them earn money. She taught herself how to shoot her grandfather's gun and began hunting animals for food. She could shoot the animals without ruining the important parts of the meat. She sold the animals to the people in her town. When she was 15 years old, she had made enough money to pay for her family's farm.
Soon, her ability to shoot a gun became well known in her town. When she was 16 years old, she was invited to a shooting contest with a famous marksman named Frank Butler. Frank Butler claimed that he could shoot better than anyone else. Annie surprised everyone when she won the competition. She shot all 25 targets, while Frank Butler was only able to shoot 24 of them. Perhaps their shooting abilities attracted them to one another, because Annie and Frank married in 1876.
In 1882, Annie took the name Oakley. She and Frank Butler started putting on shows together, demonstrating their abilities to shoot a gun. Frank Butler was the star of the show, and Annie Oakley was his assistant. However, sometimes she did her own shooting. 2 years later, Annie Oakley met the famous Native American chief Sitting Bull at a performance. The chief liked her skill in shooting and also her personality. They became friends. He gave her the name Little Sure Shot because of her shooting ability and because she was only 1.5 meters tall.
Who's got the stuff that made the Wild West wild? Who pleases every woman, man, and child? Who does his best to give the customers a thrill? Colonel Buffalo Bill. Who's got the show that gets the most applause? 500 Indians and 50 squaws. 10 feature acts and there's the special feature still. Colonel Buffalo Bill.
Did you ever see a cowboy rope a steer?
No, we haven't.
Or an Indian with feathers throw a spear?
No, we haven't.
Or a marksman shoot an earring from an ear?
No, we haven't.
Did you ever see a hold up?
No, sir.
Then gather closer and let me give you some of the atmosphere.
In 1885, Annie Oakley and Frank Butler joined another traveling show. It was called Buffalo Bill's Wild West. William Cody, better known as Buffalo Bill, ran the show. For 16 years, Annie Oakley was the star of the show, while Frank Butler was her assistant. Posters for the show called her a champion markswoman. The Wild West show became very famous all over the United States. All of the performers demonstrated their skills. Many of the performers had fought in real gun battles while settling the western part of the United States. They wanted to bring the excitement and mystery of the Wild West to a show that people would like to watch.
Annie Oakley did tricks that showed off how good she was at aiming and shooting a gun. She could shoot a small metal coin thrown in the air from 27 meters away. She could shoot the thin edge of a playing card and then shoot it 6 more times as it fell to the ground. She could shoot the ashes off a cigarette her husband Frank Butler held in his mouth. In 1887, Buffalo Bill took the whole Wild West show to Europe. They traveled to many countries and gave many performances. They performed in England for Queen Victoria. Annie Oakley received a lot of attention. The newspapers wrote stories about her, and she took part in many shooting contests.
The Wild West show returned to Europe 2 years later. By this time, Annie Oakley had become even more famous. The Wild West show performed in Paris, France, for 6 months. Then the performers traveled to Germany, Italy, and Spain. In Germany, the Crown Prince asked Oakley to shoot the ashes off of a cigarette that he held in his mouth, as she famously had done with her husband. She asked the prince to hold the cigarette in his hand instead, and did the trick easily.
When the Wild West show returned to the United States, Buffalo Bill decided to change it to include scenes from the life and culture of the Wild West. These scenes included train robberies, gunfights, and conflicts with Native American Indians. In 1901, Annie Oakley was in a train crash that badly injured her back. She had 5 operations. Annie and Frank wanted to stop traveling so much and have their own home. So they left the Wild West show. They built a home in Cambridge, Maryland. They liked this area because it had a nice community and there were many places they could go hunting. Annie Oakley and Frank Butler took part in community activities. Oakley gave shooting lessons and demonstrations at the local county fair.
Annie Oakley wrote a book about her life that was published in 1914. It was called Powders I Have Used. She also wrote many stories about hunting and fishing. Some of these articles tried to get other women to begin hunting. She also tried to get women to learn how to shoot a gun so that they could defend themselves. During World War I, Annie Oakley offered to help the military. She proposed to train a group of women volunteers who would become soldiers in the war. However, the United States did not accept this offer. She also offered to give the American troops shooting lessons. She traveled across the country and visited many training camps. she gave shooting demonstrations and raised money for medicine and supplies.
In 1925, Annie Oakley and Frank Butler moved back to Ohio to be near her family. They continued to give performances, but Annie Oakley was sick. She died on November 3, 1926. Her husband, Frank Butler, died 18 days later. Annie Oakley has been remembered in many ways. People have written movies, songs, plays, books, and television shows about her. One of the most famous examples is the Broadway musical play called Annie, Get Your Gun. Irving Berlin wrote it in 1946. In one of the famous songs from the musical, Annie Oakley and Frank Butler sing Anything You Can Do. The singers are Ethel Merman and Bruce Yarnell.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge.
I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow.
I can live on bread and cheese.
And only on that?
Yes.
So can a rat.
Anything you can sing, I can sing higher.
I can sing anything higher than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Oh, yes, I can.
The musical is still being performed today to remember a woman with an unusual skill. She showed that women could be just as good, if not better, than men. We leave you with There's No Business Like Show Business from Annie Get Your Gun.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people, they smile when they are low.
Yesterday they told you you would not go far.
That night you open and there you are.
Next day on your dressing room they palm a star.
Let's go on with the show.
This program was written by Aaron Braswell and produced by LaJuan Davis. I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember. You can learn more about famous Americans on our website, voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.
Business like show business, like no business I know.
You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn.
Top of that, your ma and pa have parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on.
There's no people like show people. They don't run out of dough.
Angels come from everywhere with lots of jack.
And when you lose it, there's no attack.
Where could you get money that you don't get back?
Let's go on with the show.
If you tell me it's so,
traveling through the country is so thrilling.